Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All By the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
And I'm Alessandra.
And today, we're talking about a new Netflix animated movie, Wendell and Wild.
Yeah, and we saw that this movie was created by Jordan Peele. And, you know, he's a great filmmaker. And it's also directed by Henry Selick, who had done a lot of animated movies like Coraline, Nightmare Before Christmas, James and the Giant Peach. I mean, those are just iconic movies, so definitely was going to be a good recipe, I think.
Iconic stop motion as well.
Exactly. Yes. And is that why you wanted to watch this, Emily?
So, I love stop motion, if that is something I've brought up on the podcast before. I really do. I think it's a really amazing art form, and just the way that it, just the amount of time it takes to put together a very, even a couple minutes of just seamless storyboarding, or not storyboarding, but like, you know, actually moving these clay figures around seamlessly. Like it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to make films like this. So I definitely like to take the time to watch these movies, because I can't even imagine how much time it takes to make one of these movies.
Yeah.
So much time.
And they're really fun. They're really fun and they're really unique. And they're definitely very spooky, honestly, a lot of the time. I don't know what it is about it, but it just kind of breeds that especially spooky time. So sorry we're getting to Wendell and Wild a little bit after Halloween, but it still is like nice of timing, you know? It's got that same fall winter vibe in it too.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, you could watch spooky stuff all year round. But yes, this is tech that we are out of spooky season, but I wanted to make sure I watched this movie. Also because Jordan Peele was involved and I'm really liking his stuff lately. And the trailer looked awesome. Like, I remember watching it with my roommates and they were really interested in watching it too. So we all watched it together last night. And it was a lot of fun. But where to start?
It's an interesting story about this girl, Kat, kind of starts off with a tragedy. And yes. Her parents and her are drowned. She lives, but her parents are drowned after their car goes off of
a bridge
in their hometown. Yeah. And it's just like, it starts off in that sad vein of, oh, this our main character is going to have this tragic backstory that's going to affect her. But I think it like truly evolves into something that is like, because of the creepy element, she actually kind of uses that as her power to like overcome her circumstances, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, there's a lot to this movie. It really left me wanting more. I'm just going to put that right there in the beginning. Like they really bring up a lot of things, like aspects to the character of Kat and aspects to the demon realm that we kind of get a little peek into during this movie. And they really bring up a lot of side characters as well that honestly I would have loved to have known more about. Like, I think this would have been a really cool show It's based off a book, apparently, which I'm very, which I'm interested in looking into. So I might do that at some point. But yeah, there was a lot going on in this movie, and unfortunately, I don't think the movie got to everything.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
But not to its detriment. Like, it was still really good, and I really enjoyed it. It felt kind of long.
Yeah. I also agree with that. I watched it today, in the middle of the day, so I was just kind of sitting on the couch, and I was really tired because I didn't sleep super well last night, so I was, like, trying not to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You know, just really cozy and comfortable at my in-laws' house. Yeah, it was quite long, though. It was 2 hours, no, 1 hour and 45 minutes, so that is long for an animated film. There was a lot of characters, like you said. That's true.
How long is Coraline? Let me see.
Usually, they're only about, like, 90-something minutes is, like, typically what an animated movie is. I mean, it depends. But, yeah, like, the evolution of the character and all the kind of, like, I feel like Wendell and Wilde were not the... They felt so much like side characters. They felt like Pain and Panic from Hercules rather than the main, like, the title characters of the movie. Even though they're not the main girl, Kat, it still was like they didn't have enough interactions with her, I felt, that it was like... Like, their relationship did not develop very much because she was, like, angry at them most of the time and they didn't actually spend that much time together. You know what I mean?
Right. We were discussing the same thing, me and my roommates, at the end of the movie. We wondered why the movie was called Wendell and Wilde when they weren't... It didn't really seem like the two demons were the main focus of the movie.
Yeah, they were just, like... the cause of the bringing the dead to life situation. And that was it. Like, they were just, like, little troublemakers, like Pain and Panic, you know?
Right. It... We literally just watched this movie, and I feel like I haven't, like, sat and... No, I... Okay. I'm trying to see if I have all my thoughts together about this movie. We're kind of dropped in. So I guess a little bit more summary. I also really like movies like this, especially when, you know, I don't think Laika was involved with this, obviously.
No.
But, you know, stop motion makes me think of Laika since they're really big in the stop motion game. And their stories are usually very creative. And so this just feels like a very Laika movie to me. But... We're really just dropped in to whatever Wendell and Wilde are doing. They're in jail. That's what we learn.
On the head of in the body of a giant, like, demon guy.
Yes, that we learn later, like halfway through the film, probably, that it's their father. Their father has imprisoned them for treachery. We never learned what this treachery is. I think it has to do with the fair they want to make, but again,
yeah.
I'm not 100%. And they're sentenced to growing their daddy demon's hair.
Yeah, like at the root, like
at
the
root.
Plugs.
Like, yeah, they have this magical hair cream that they, like, inject into his scalp because this guy's huge. Like, the fair is on his body. So
yes.
Every day, these souls come, and I think they called it a bemusement park? Or, like, they called it something. They gave it some interesting name.
Yeah, bemusement park. You got that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so every day, the souls just come to this park to, you know, have a good time in the afterlife. But it is literally attached to this giant demon's body, and yeah, so they live in his nostril, and they, Wendell and Wilde do. Wendell and Wilde live in his nostril, and then they spend their days on his scalp. So it's just, so you're dropped into this, not really knowing, like, when they were first doing this, I didn't quite know that they were on a scalp.
Sure.
Until you know, they're talking, and they're talking about the hair cream, and they start eating it, and it makes them high, so it's really funny. Like, it's just... They really drop you in, and you're kind of struggling to get to the top of this lake that you're just thrown into. Like, it's...
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the, like, that's kind of the fun part about it. You know, you don't really need to be explained things. I think they just, they're clear. Like, they're not super clear, but that's kind of the fun part about this kind of movie making, I think. It's just, don't tell the audience, show the audience, and eventually you'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, and it did do that. Like, I didn't feel lost the entire way through the film, but there were some things that happened that I would have liked a bit more detail on, a bit more description on.
Yeah, like, what does it mean
just certain
to be,
things?
Hell Maiden, right? That's
yeah.
What they're called. What does that even entail? Does that mean that you can just talk to demons and, like, get powers? Like, you have powers?
So after Kat's parents die, she gets put into, like, a foster system or some type of, like, orphanage system. And she is taken to, like, a boarding school for lost kids, basically. Because she got into some trouble, she went to juvie or something, or she could go to juvie at the rate that, at the path that she's taking. I don't know. Again, we just know that she's gotten into some trouble. We don't go into specifics, but it's just, this is what we're told. And so then now she's in this program to get put into a school, a boarding school, and she goes there, back where she lives, back at Rust Bank. Mm-hmm. And the second she gets there, she gets out of the van, and some girls from the school are there to welcome her, and a character that we meet later, Raul, is up on this tower, and he steps on this brick, and the brick almost falls on Siobhan, another girl that we meet, and Kat kind of has, like, a vision that Siobhan's gonna get hit, so she pushes her out of the way. Mm-hmm. So we learn at that point that Kat does have some power of some sort.
Yeah.
But then later in the movie, it made it sound like she didn't have the full power or something. Because, like,
yeah,
when she had that dream sequence.
Yeah.
Where she had to get over her fever.
Right. Yeah.
She then unlocked her power as if she didn't have it.
She needed
so that
to
was a
face
little
her,
confusing.
Her past in order to accept who she needed to become, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a little bit, like, fast-paced. There was also, like, this is a Catholic school, so there's nuns. There's also Father Best, who's a real character. And then there's the kind of the lady who helps her out, who turns out she's also a Hell Maiden as well, which is Sister Helly, played with Angela Bassett.
Yes!
Again, we're in two Angela Bassett movies in a row.
I know! It's so good.
I also loved James Hong as Father Best as well. Like, James Hong is unsung hero of cinema, and he was so kooky as this character, this, like, Catholic priest character, who just was doing, like, got Kat because they get money for basically, like, letting her go from, like, isn't it, like, to break the cycle? That's what they were calling, like, break the cycle of, like, the foster system and how horrible it is to kids by letting them go to this really prestigious girl's school, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, basically. Yeah. But yeah, Sister Helly's there and she, like, kind of gets on Kat's good side somehow. And then
we find out later that the janitor was her mentor in some way. He was, like, a demon catcher, and he had a bunch of demons in the school's basement, and he taught and he taught Sister Helly how to use her Hell Maiden powers. So like, it's just it really uncovers all this lore that it doesn't have time to get to.
No, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
And I just wanted to know more.
It should have been like a little bit simpler. Like I do agree. It was very complicated. And like, you know, if you compare it to something like James and the Giant Peach, which is like also based on a book and a story, but like, it's a pretty simple story. Like, there's also a lot of characters in it, you know, but, and even Coraline, yeah, it's a little bit more straightforward. This movie had a, like a lot of characters, a lot of things happening at once. We're trying to figure out the landscape of the city and how it relates to these Korax people or whatever who are building jails, and they're like very bad guy-esque, very clearly bad guys.
Yeah, so basically the Korax people, they want to like bulldoze the entire town and turn this whole place into one big prison, right? This one big privately run prison.
Yeah, the Klaxon people. Yeah. They want the whole, so they're private prison owners and proprietors, so they want to turn pretty much the whole town into one big prison and make all the money off of how many inmates they can put into the prison. You know, it was a, yeah, that's a good villain, because it's how it exists in our world today.
Right. And they basically lie and say that they're going to have great rehabilitation programs and there will be great facilities and benefits for the prisoners that come to this place. And it's just, it's all a lie. It's all just a big money grabbing scheme. So it was a very good villain.
They just like weren't that in it as much. Like, they're just kind of there.
Yeah, and they really had a big, so it's just interesting how the characters that we were shown, they all had a pretty big part to play in this movie, and it just seemed like they all didn't have time to be properly, like, to have their own arcs, like, fully fleshed out.
Definitely a TV series would have been better. I totally agree with you. Or, like, a miniseries, maybe?
Yeah, and maybe it didn't necessarily need to be stop motion, so that way it, you know, it wouldn't be so costly.
When she was, like, barred from raising her parents from the dead, because Wendell and Wilde were like, well, the Klaxons are going to give us money for our amusement park, and we want that money more, so we're going to not raise the dead of anybody else. They were like, I literally thought to myself, don't raise the parents. We don't need more characters in this. And then they did, and it was just messy. It was messy.
It was a little messy. There were a lot of because we, you know, we had to have the dead guards be raised from the dead because that was how
the city voted on, like, if the prison was going to happen. So then
the city was voting on the prison, and the only people who were going to vote for this prison were the guards that used to work in this prison but have been dead for what seemed like a long ass time, because they were literally skeletons.
Yes. Let's talk about the good things in this movie, because obviously all we've been talking about was the bad things. One of the best things about this movie was the diversity in this movie, the acting in this movie, all fantastic. The art of this movie was fantastic, obviously. And also just like the allegories to our real life, like, you know, reality, like actual what it's like to be a foster youth and, you know, the reasons why they are angry at the entire world and like, and often hate themselves, as Kat says in the movie, because of how fucked up the system is. And the prison reform and the Catholic school bullshit and these things that just exist.
They're all very relevant.
Yeah, they're very relevant. So I did like those things.
Yeah, of course. And the soundtrack for this was really good.
Yeah, a lot of contemporary music. A lot of fun music.
Very fun, very fun. That it, as we were watching this, we kept saying, I don't think this is a movie for children.
No. No. I mean, it could be. Like, Coraline is a movie for children, but it's also a movie for adults, and it's very scary. And same thing with, like, James and the Giant Peach. Like, that movie's fucked up. But, like, I watched that when I was a kid. I love that movie.
I mean, yeah, a lot of the stuff in this movie might just go over kids' heads that they just don't, that they won't really understand. Coraline, yes, it kind of has that spooky, scary aspect, but the story seems still fairly simple, you know, for kids easy enough to follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this movie is still very entertaining to watch. And
it is,
I mean,
rated PG-13, though. So.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah. Good thing I noticed that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Elegantly scored. Yes, that's definitely true. Yeah, I really like that they had, you know, a transgender character in this. They had a lot of different actors in diverse roles that aren't just, like, playing, you know, animals or something. You know, like, it was actual humans as they were supposed to be. And that's always, like, that's refreshing. We don't see a lot of movies like that, like animated movies for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That's very true. And the one, I think she was the only white person. Oh no, some of the nuns were, well, I don't know. The nuns looked like weird little mole things, but.
Yeah. The wheelchair, the demon catcher dude, he was white, I think.
Oh yes, that's right. But the evil wife was really given a Yzma.
Oh yeah.
Yzma vibes.
With the eyelashes that were just like basically glued to the top and bottom of her eyes. You know, really big eyelashes.
Yeah, they were they were something. It looked like she caked on her mascara. But yeah, I did like the villains. Just again, I liked a lot of things about this movie. I just wish there was more.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I just need to read the book.
That would be cool. Is it a graphic novel or is it a novel, like a regular novel?
Let me see really quick.
While you're doing that, I'm going to look at the trivia, I guess.
Yeah. Do you want to take a quick break while we look the stuff up?
Sure. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, we are back. I'm just going to read a couple trivias. Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas makes a brief cameo during the credits. In the scene going down in the ground, Jack's skull appears among other skulls. He is also seen as a topper on the antenna of the juvenile justice van. I didn't even notice that.
What? Neither did I. What?
The second stop motion animated film to be rated PG-13 after Isle of Dogs. Wow.
Oh, Isle of Dogs is rated PG-13?
I guess so. Maybe because of the language?
Maybe.
The soundtrack is comprised of all black rock bands or black fronted leads of rock bands in the tribute to Fishbone. That's awesome.
That is really cool.
I love that. Henry Selick used Charles Adams cartoons, The Twilight Zone, Ray Harryhausen's Stop Motion Monsters, The Night on Bald Mountain, The Night of the Hunter, and The Invasion of the Body Snatchers as inspiration for the movie. I did like the, you know, raising the dead situation. That was fun. Makes it more spooky, of course.
Yeah, but then also kind of comedic because then we find out that the hair cream isn't permanent, and so they all had to die again eventually.
Yeah. Not much else. It's just actor information here. The actors starting other things together, of course.
There were some pretty funny parts in this movie, but they felt so far in between.
That's so true. That it was not very funny.
that I almost feel like it. Like I don't think it was. It was labeled as comedic. I think it was. Oh no, it does say comedy.
Oh, and not to mention, like, we had Raul's mom, and then also Raul, that we didn't get enough of, like, interacting with Kat. Like, I feel like there were so many, like, good relationships that should have been developed and, like, seen through that just felt like it was just like, oh, there's this person here with Kat, you know? And, like, like, they didn't really have a very, like, a reason to be friends. They just happened to, like, do things together.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked Raul's character, and I wanted to see more of him, but yeah, he just seemed like such a side character. Like, again, there were so many characters kind of competing for center stage in this movie that people just really got pushed to the sidelines. Like, it was...
Yeah, exactly. Tough. And Raul's, like, painting on top of everybody's houses in the neighborhood to, like, make one giant mural that goes across all the houses, and like that's what makes the giant demon monster realize that he misses all of his kids, because he sees like a mom shielding their kid, and that's like, but it was also I got the like impression that they were Latino in some way, so like the art was definitely like Latino art, and so that was also like impacted by the way I guess the demon was like, that's cool, but then it just wasn't explored enough. Like, we didn't really get, like, much... Yeah, like, it really should have been a miniseries.
I know! Okay, I'm having such a hard time trying to find this damn book.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening! Maybe you're right, maybe it's a comic. So, I'm on the author's website. And he does do... don't think he does a lot of Marvel comics.
Okay, well, that's a good clue.
But, and then I was looking under books. Okay. He's done some films, and of course, Wendell and Wild is here. But what... what's the book called? Oh, goodness.
Who knows, buddy? I'm gonna
do some research. Yeah, I can't. I don't know. Because every time I look up Wendell and Wild, it just brings up the movie, and then I'm trying to look up the author plus Wendell and Wild, and the movie just comes up. So,
of course,
it's not making this easy. It's really not. All right, fine. I'll just have to look into this later.
Okay.
Oh, there's another movie we have to watch on Netflix. It's called My Father's Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's by the makers of The Secret of the Kells.
Oh, then that means it's probably going to get nominated for an Oscar too. So definitely got to watch that one.
Yes,
I love animated movies. Do you think that this one will get nominated or no?
I don't see why not. I still thought it was very good.
Yeah.
What other animated movies have come out? Has Disney released anything this year? When did Encanto come out? This year?
No, Disney is last releasing year? Something that's coming out right now. It's Strange Planet.
That's right.
Yep, we gotta watch that. Because my uncle made that one too.
I think the only other movie that's come out is like that new Minions movie. Like the 70s Minions or whatever.
Emily, that came out like last year. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. These years just blur together. I don't remember when anything comes out. So Strange Worlds is the only movie that Disney is releasing this year?
I think so.
Like Disney Animation?
Yeah. Can't recall any other one.
Well, all right. Well, then, yeah. I don't see why this wouldn't get nominated.
Do you want to read the plot keywords?
Yeah. Let's see. Stop motion, demon, brother, teenager, young.
Okay.
Oh, and then we find out that the janitor having all those jars of demons was all of Belzar's children.
Yep.
That was something.
So this movie got a 69 Metascore, very much in the green, 21 positive reviews, 9 mixed reviews, and 0 negative reviews.
Nice.
The highest ones being 291s, and the lowest being a 50.
Wow, okay.
So this is pretty good.
We got a lot of 50s to choose from. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I think this one sounds like what we've been talking about. The New York Times, they gave it a 50. The storylines feel far-flung and disconnected, and the limits and rules of this world's magical logic are at turns underdeveloped and inconsistent. Though the movie has a delightfully ruckus rock and roll sensibility, the dialogue lacks the wit and punch to match.
Totally. The 60 from Little White Lies kind of says a similar thing. There's a lot at play. Guilt, grief, purgation, conformity, electoral fraud, and the prison industrial complex to tap it all off. What may have been appropriately lulled out on paper feels distending within a 105-minute runtime, where big salient ideas are brought only to a simmer. Wow, Emily, that is like exactly what we were talking about.
Wow.
They just say it so much more eloquently than us.
Oh, for sure. Okay, and then was there another one you liked, or should I read one of the 90 ones?
No, you can read one of the 90s.
All right, let's see. I'm going to do the Collider. When it all comes together, Wendell and Wilde ends up feeling liberating, both artistically and thematically, with top work from all involved. Indeed.
So I actually watched all the credits and waited till the very end, and there was a little video of someone of the filmmakers.
What?
Yeah, and he's like, I woke up, it's like 3 a.m. I heard something going on in the room over, so let's go see what it is. And he goes and he turns on the light, and then he kind of shows Kat coming out from like the behind a water bottle or something, and he's like, "Oh, you're making a ruckus in here, Kat," or something like that.
What?
And it's like in his apartment, and he apparently, you know, made the video, and she's just there. It's pretty cute. So that sounds check cute. It out.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll have to do that. I'll have to watch that. The song during the credits was really funny.
Yeah, it was.
Like the lyrics were so good.
I even knew the song at the end where they were like trying to stop the bulldozers. That song, I knew it. Like, I have that on my Spotify playlist. Like, it's a great song.
Ooh, nice.
And I was just like, oh, they got some good stuff. They got some real fun punk songs. And the fact that, like, she was, you know, dressed up like a punk, it was fun. It was good.
Yeah, I really liked how she changed her school uniform. And, like, no one cared. Uh-huh. She ripped it and then pinned it closed and then had all those belts and then wore the boots, like, and no one said anything. They're just like, okay, that's fine.
Exactly.
But all right, do we have anything else to say about Wendell and Wilde?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, if
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher, and on IMDb. We have an IMDb page now. Alessandra very graciously made that for us. And we are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. And if you want to follow our social media, we have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Just search All About the Popcorn or All About the Popcorn Podcast. If you want to email us and say hello, you can email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. And we also have some merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.